Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here to talk with you a little bit about some work we're doing between the RAND Corporation and the World Food Program in Latin America, and acknowledge my many co-authors, in particular Kartika Paller and Hugo Farias, who are here in the room today.
Raise your hand.
I have no relationships to disclose. Today I wanted to focus on four main things. First, I'll talk a little bit about the background of why we got into this work, why nutrition and food security are emerging as important issues for people living with HIV, how we work together between a nonprofit research organization and UN World Agency, the World Food Program, to develop partnerships in Latin America and the Caribbean to address this issue. I'll share a little bit about some formative research that we did in three countries in Latin America, Bolivia, Honduras, and Dominican Republic, and how the results from this formative research informed different programs and policies. HIV and its treatment are increasing concerns in the region. The Caribbean is second only to sub-Saharan Africa in terms of overall HIV prevalence. And is a leading cause of death. In the non-Caribbean parts of Latin America, the epidemic, although in a few countries is generalized or over 1% of the population, in many countries it remains a concentrated epidemic, but concentrated in marginalized groups like men who have sex with men, sex workers, and prevalence is actually quite high in those groups. Another unique aspect of Latin America and the Caribbean, the region, is that it's the most highly unequal region in terms of income inequality and all the that goes with that, the poverty, et cetera, really fuel the epidemic in the region. On the bright side, access to antiretroviral therapy, or ART, has increased dramatically in Latin America. It is among the highest in the developing world, and even some hope that they might reach universal access in the near future. Yet there are some barriers to that, and through some preliminary work that I had done in Central America looking at the role of faith-based organizations in HIV, one issue that kept emerging was that food insecurity was posing a real barrier to adherence to ART. So despite this big scale-up, there were concerns that with people not able to adhere to the regimen, this would then create problems with drug resistance, et cetera, and the investment, the huge investment that's being done by governments and others in the region would not be realized. There is a fair amount of evidence emerging in the literature about this link between food security and a number of HIV-related outcomes, lower ART adherence, low CD4 counts, incomplete viral suppression, and increased morbidity and mortality among people living with HIV. And it's really being demonstrated that ART adherence could be a key mediator between food security and these poor clinical outcomes. Thus, we concluded that promoting food security and effective nutritional support to people with HIV really is critical to ensure the realization of all that ART has to offer. Another way to think about this is to think about the different pathways between food insecurity and these HIV outcomes. This framework comes from Sherry Weiser and colleagues, where they really outlined well, I thought, the different kinds of pathways, including nutritional pathways, mental health pathways, and behavioral pathways. But the really important aspect of this framework, I think, is the feedback loop between the outcomes and the food insecurity. So food insecurity can cause poor HIV outcomes, but then these poor HIV outcomes can further exacerbate the food insecurity and really end up being sort of a vicious cycle. In starting to look in the region and what was being done around food insecurity, HIV, and nutritional support, when we first started this work a number of 5-6 years ago, there really wasn't a whole lot. There weren't a lot of wasn't a lot of attention given to the issue in national HIV policies. And there were also relatively few teaching institutions in many of the affected countries where they could train specialists in nutrition who could then focus on HIV. And we found little research on strategies to address this issue, particularly in Latin America. What research does exist tends to focus on Africa. So what this is a backdrop, RAND and the World Food Program formed a partnership, and through funding largely from the World Food Program, started some pilot projects. We got some additional funding from NIH and are seeking more funding. Initially, we did some qualitative interviews with key stakeholders throughout the region to understand the issues. And then through the ongoing work that the World Food Program was doing in trying to build capacity around this issue in the region, local partners began to emerge in different countries where they would ask to receive assistance either from the World Food Program, in some cases would want to partner with a WFP and RAND on a little research project. To date, we've conducted formative research in Bolivia, Honduras, and the Dominican Republic. Starting in Panama most recently and Nicaragua next year. The idea behind this formative research was to do some preliminary data collection, try to understand the local availability of foods and dietary issues as well as nutritional status issues, and to use this information to then design interventions that we could test further. So in this formative research, very exploratory aims, really trying to understand kind of the range on these issues of a dietary intake, nutritional adequacy of the intake, as well as nutritional status among people living with HIV. And I say in care because we know that there are a number of people who are either they don't know they're HIV positive or maybe they know and they're not getting care. We were focusing initially on the people who were in some kind of care. Maybe they weren't adhering as much as they should, but they were connected to some clinic because that's how we, you'll see later how we sampled. We worked closely with different stakeholders in the three countries, but tended to be always the local WFP office, local HIV clinics that were either governmental or non-governmental, as well as the National AIDS programs, ministries of health, and then the existing networks of people living with HIV that often were on a national and local level. Our methods were both qualitative and quantitative, and given that we were mostly trying to understand the range on these issues and being exploratory, we use a criterion of saturation of ideas or kind of sampling until we started to not get any new information. And so that the sample sizes varied in each clinic but tended to be between 20 and 40 in each clinic within each country. They were convenience samples, people attending the clinics on the days that we were conducting the interviews or the assessments. We had a series of inclusion criteria, which I can share with people later. And we sought approval. We did get approval from the RAND IRB, but also sought approval in each country where we worked for the local IRB, which we felt was very important. This gives an overview of our data collection methods. I won't go into detail because we don't have time, but just to say that we did with everyone a sort of a structured interview, which we got a lot of socioeconomic, sociodemographic information, food insecurity information. We also used some ethnographic techniques like free listing and pile sorts to try to understand. In some ways, we were trying to understand the regional variation within countries around kind of culturally determined patterns of food availability, food use. We also did visits to local markets where people obtained food and asked and sort of surveyed what was available in these different regions and their prices. We also did home visits to not only get an understanding of living conditions and food availability at the household level, but also practical things like utensils they used to serve, so we would get portion sizes and be able to use that then in the dietary assessment. So we did a 24-hour dietary recall and a variety of different anthropometric methods to measure height, weight, body fat, arm circumference, waist circumference, skin fold, etc. So this gives you an idea of the samples in each country. And I should point out that I'm presenting them side by side. We didn't do this in a way that we wanted to really compare across the countries. The real purpose of this was to look at in-country variation and to have that feed into the interventions that were developed. But gives you the sample sizes across the countries, There were a couple of clinics in Bolivia, 4 clinics in Honduras, and 4 in the Dominican Republic. Mostly women in Honduras and Dominican Republic in our sample, similar ages, primary school or less education was a little higher in the Dominican Republic and Honduras. But the important thing about this slide was really kind of the overall high levels of food insecurity. This was a scale that's been developed in Latin America to measure food insecurity, and it looks at the household level. And we found about 68-70% moderately or severely food insecure in Honduras and Dominican Republic, and over half in Bolivia. Through the free listing, we identified the frequently consumed foods in each country. This, again, what we really looked at was kind of the regional variation within countries. This just gives you overall for the whole country. Rice, the number one across the three countries, some differences in other types of foods, but mostly staples, carbohydrates, some protein, a little bit of fat, not many fruits or vegetables. The 24-hour dietary recall enabled us to look at things like calorie consumption, consumption of macronutrients and micronutrients. I'm just presenting here the calorie intake for each country, kind of overall between men and women, was well under 100%. Some limitations in using a dietary recall, 24-hour dietary recall. So we can't say how accurate this is, but this is what people said that they consumed, and then what we measured. When we looked at body mass index from a more objectively measured measurement, we found that actually a high substantial portion of men and women, but particularly women, were either overweight or obese in all three countries. And similarly, in body fat, we found pretty high levels of either high or very high levels of body fat. So across the three countries, we found fairly high levels of food insecurity among people living with HIV, and this was frequently severe. And this food insecurity often coexisted with overweight and obesity, particularly among women. And the dietary assessments showed that people's diets were generally high in fats and carbohydrates, but generally low in protein and various micronutrients. And as I said, the 24-hour recall identified these deficits in calories, although we do have some questions about how much that really reflects reality. The other thing we're trying to look at, because the literature on kind of links between food insecurity and obesity, is that's not new, but we're trying to understand a little bit the mechanisms, and could be that the 24-hour dietary recall is really capturing kind of the great variability in food availability throughout the month, and perhaps that's coupled with then binging on dense, calorie dense foods when they are available. So further work is needed to really understand what's going on. So just to conclude with some of the projects or additional research that we're doing around this, in all three countries, this work led to culturally appropriate nutritional curriculum that the World Food Program has worked with in-country stakeholders to implement, either through nutritionists or we're in Dominican Republic, we're looking at training peers, as they did ultimately in Honduras. Also, some food assistance through a household food basket in Dominican Republic. We're actually exploring the feasibility currently of doing urban gardens with women to promote food security and consumption of fruits and vegetables. And then kind of on the policy level, one exciting development recently is that the government in the Dominican Republic has decided to, largely based on this formative study and the work that the World Food Program has done there, to incorporate people living with HIV into an existing social protection program where they will receive assistance. We're very excited about that. Thanks to everyone, can't name everyone who participated, but if you'd like more information, there's a listing of a couple of journal articles, and we have more under review and in process. You can email us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.